worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Verses 31 through 46, Matthew chapter 25. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege you give us in the body of Christ of being a part of your family, a part of the army of God. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to be a part of your family of compassion, a family of love that reaches out to meet the needs of a hurting world. Thank you for the opportunity for us to stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion as well. Stir us more and more as the body of Christ to be a people committed to hearing your voice, hearing your words, and obeying it, reaching out to help to stand against the tragedy of abortion and help save the lives of babies, babies that are precious to you, that you created for your purpose, your will, and your callings as well. Thank you for the chance to be involved in this wonderful work. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer, Rick Robertson, at this time is going to take time to pray with us for the broadcast as well.
Father, we're thankful for another opportunity to spread truth to our listeners. And Father, we acknowledge that you and your sovereignty have brought a group of people together to hear what's to be shared today. And Father, we pray that you would speak through Joseph and through the guests, that you would speak through them. We pray that our listeners will not only be hearers of what's said, but would do, would respond in a way that that you would have them to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thanks again for listening, to be a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession. We continue to remind you about our upcoming AFA Marriage, Family, and Life Conference 2020. The dates are June the 25th through the 27th. This conference provides practical training and ministry to encourage marriages and families of Christians, encouraging you to live out your faith in a hostile culture. The theme for this year is In Defense of Truth, and some of the speakers include Dr. Michael Brown, Dr. Alex McFarland, Dr. Frank Turek, and other great and outstanding speakers. The conference will include a youth apologetics track for youth ages 4 through 17 as well. For more information or to register, go to marriagefamilylife.net. Again, that's marriagefamilylife.net. We're blessed to have as our phone guest today, Robin Blessing. She's the director of a ministry called Life on Wheels that works in the state of Alabama, and she's going to tell us more about that. Robin, how are you today?
Oh, I'm so excited to be with you, Pastor Joseph. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule with what you do. And as we start, I want to ask if you'll tell our listeners a little bit more about you, Robin Blessing. And, you know, it's such a convenient thing to have a name like Blessing as you head up a ministry like you do. So, but tell us a little bit more about you and tell us about what the Ministry of Life on Wheels is and what its mission is as well.
Well, thank you. Well, I am originally from El Paso, Texas. My husband and I moved to Montgomery, Alabama 30 years ago with a sales big organization, actually. We have two sons who are 37 and 29. And so we ended up in Montgomery by one reason, but I see now why God had us here, because through an amazing series of circumstances, I am now the director of Life on Wheels. And what Life on Wheels is it's an RV. It's an RV. It's a tricked-out, amazing RV that is made to look like a... inside, it's like a doctor's office. And what we do is we offer pregnancy tests and ultrasounds to women who have had no prenatal care. And in Alabama, before you can have an abortion, you have to have an ultrasound. And so what we do is we park in front of the abortion clinic in Montgomery, Alabama, and we offer for free what the abortion clinic would charge $150 for, which is a pregnancy test and an ultrasound. And so we're right on the front lines. If you have never heard of a pregnancy care center, pregnancy care centers also offer pregnancy tests and ultrasounds for women, but they are usually brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. And what happened with us is our medical director, because we are a licensed medical facility, our medical director, Dr. Matthew Phillips, was seeing women who had had botched abortions, and he was realizing that he wasn't really reaching them through his practice. So he was, let's put it like this. He had a client that really challenged him and said, why don't we have a mobile unit? And through a wonderful God experience, they started Life on Wheels. And we didn't know if it would work. We didn't know whether people would come to the mobile unit. But we launched it 3 years ago, and currently we have seen over 3,000 clients. So it's been an amazing experience, and it does work here in Montgomery.
Okay, and so basically, Life on Wheels is a pregnancy clinic, a mobile pregnancy clinic then, correct?
Correct. Although I will say that we are limited. We like to say that we're the ambulance and the pregnancy centers are the hospital, mm-hmm. because what we do is we meet the women right on the front lines, a lot of times in front of the abortion clinic, but many times in different locations in the city. And we offer them the pregnancy test and the ultrasound. And statistics tell us that 89% of women who see their own baby on ultrasound will choose to parent, even if they were considering abortion. So we're really giving them that picture of life. And then the next thing that we do is we offer them community resources. So when they come to us, they fill out a form that tells us what their issue is. Maybe they are, maybe they don't have a job, maybe they don't have any, it could be a whole series of situations. But whatever the situation is, we are then challenged with connecting them with somebody in the community that can help them. So what we do is after they see their ultrasound, we give them the information, and then to help them in the community, like maybe set them up to help them get Medicaid, maybe to send them to a doctor if they don't have a doctor yet. Well, they don't have a doctor yet, they wouldn't be seeing us. But the most important thing that we do then at that point is we say, well, we can help you with this, but there's somebody that's going to help you overall. And we offer them, we use a track called May I Ask You a Question? And we just say to them, let me ask you this. If you were to die tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven? And these women are really in a vulnerable position. You know, they're sitting across from an abortion clinic, they're feeling guilty or happy or sad, whatever it is, it just depends on how they're feeling about their pregnancy. But many, many, many of them let us share the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. So what we do at that point is we share the gospel, we pray with them, and give them a Bible if they don't have a Bible yet. Mm-hmm. So we've done that hundreds and hundreds of times, probably, I'm sure, over 1,000 times now. We have seen 103 professions of faith in Jesus Christ. I always tell our volunteers, don't get discouraged if they don't say, you know, yes right now, because the Word tells us that one man plants, the next one waters, but God gives the increase. Mm-hmm. So God gave us the increase on those 103, but we know we've planted and watered in a lot more women.
That's good. That's good. And so evangelism is a major part of the work that you do as well then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, our mission with Life on Wheels is to serve women, save babies, and share Jesus. And so we start out, our mobile unit on the side of it, it says Image Clear Ultrasound, and that is the part of the fleet that is nationwide. There's like 44 of these mobiles going around, and the outside looks like what it is, a medical clinic. When the women come in, our first responsibility is to serve her medically, because that's why she came to us. So we do the pregnancy test. If she's pregnant, we go ahead and do the ultrasound. And the thing is if you serve women, you're automatically saving the baby. Mm-hmm. People like to hear about how many babies were saved, and we love that too. But this woman is in crisis. There's a reason why she came to us and not to a doctor or to a hospital. She's got some problem. Mm-hmm. And so our job is to help her through that and get her to the next step where she can actually see herself as a parent. And then a big part of that is knowing Jesus Christ, because that's the ultimate answer. Now, I don't want to say that everyone will let us share the gospel. Sometimes they leave crying because they didn't realize that they were pregnant, or they didn't realize that it was really a baby, and they're upset. But we follow up with all our clients. If you see on our website, we have twice as many follow-ups as we do client visits, and that's because we're following up with our ladies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if someone listening is wanting to learn more about Life on Wheels and what you do, or maybe would like to get in touch with you, how could they do that?
The best way is to look at our website. It is lifeonwheelsalabama.com, all spelled out, lifeonwheelsalabama.com. They could also text me. I'm sorry, well, they could text me, but they could email me at mom@lifeonwheelsalabama.com. Mm-hmm. And we've got videos. We've got client stories, our volunteer stories, and every month we change our statistics to show what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to ask if you'll take a moment now to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear whatever the Lord wants to share with them from our broadcast today.
I sure will. Father God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to share. Father, I specifically pray right now for women who have had abortions, because there's so many of us, Father, that have had abortions, or for men who paid for abortions or were part of the abortion experience. Father, you are a God of love and grace and compassion, and there is healing for all of us and for those who are even considering it right now. So, Father, I just ask you that this broadcast will reach the people that need to hear it, and that they will know that you love them and you are the God of second chances. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Robin. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for every person listening as well. Lord, I pray that each listener would become, at minimal, a prayer warrior, praying for the work of the Ministry of Life on Wheels, and praying for Robin and her staff as well. And raise up many more prayer warriors, as well as other persons that may feel called of you to do other things to help support either this ministry or similar one doing the wonderful work of both helping women, helping save babies, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, bless and prosper the work of their hands. Direct them more and more into your perfect will, and send along their path more people that will support them, walk with them, and encourage them. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is Robin Blessing. She's the director of Life on Wheels in the state of Alabama. We'll be right back after this break.
My son.
Minded Shakers, only way. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Robin Blessing. She's the director of Life on Wheels, a powerful ministry in the state of Alabama. Robin, would you share with our listeners once again the website if they're wanting to get in touch with you or learn more about the work of Life on Wheels?
Sure, Life on Wheels. Our website is lifeonwheelsalabama.com, all spelled out. And we're also on Facebook. It's Low, L-O-W, Alabama. You'll see current pictures of our clients and what we're doing. And then if you'd like to email me, it's mom@lifeonwheelsalabama.com.
Okay, then. Okay, and you've mentioned, too, like ultrasound is a big part of the work you do. You share, you show women ultrasounds of their babies, and you said that, you said 80% or more of the women that see an ultrasound will choose to keep their babies. Is that correct?
89%, actually.
89%.
Because there's nothing like seeing life. We had a woman just about 3 weeks ago. We were out praying in front of the abortion clinic on Fridays in Montgomery. It's abortion day, and they start abortions as early as 4:45 in the morning. And what we do is we go out and we pray, and when I say we, it's people from different churches all around Montgomery. And when we started this in 2017, it was like three people out there praying by our mobile unit. And now we have about 35 that come out and pray, and we're believing God for more. And so we were praying, and before we pray, we sing. And we were singing, "How Great Is Our God." And the police officer that we hired to be with us so that we don't have any problems, we don't demonstrate, we don't yell at women or do any of that. We stay across the street, but we have a police officer with us because there's a lot of women on our volunteer force that are involved. And she came up to me while we were singing, and she said, "Robin, there's somebody that wants to talk to you before they go across the street." And I was like, wow, you know. So I look over, and here is this woman and her daughter in the car. So I go over to the car, and the girl looks like she's maybe 15, 16, and her eyes are as big as half dollars. And she said, "I just can't go over there. It's evil." And I said to her, "Well, you know what? You don't have to go over there." And she was looking at me, and I said, "Listen to me." I said, "I had an abortion, and I have regretted it ever since." And I said, "You don't have to go through that. You don't have to. You're going to have a baby that you don't know who he'll be. You don't know what his future will be, but we know that Jeremiah tells us it's awesome." And I said, "Could I pray with you?" And she started crying. Her mom started crying. We all held hands. We prayed, and they drove off. Now, this is a major thing. She had already paid $650 for an abortion that she chose not to have. So that was a God thing for sure. And when I went back and told our intercessors that were out there, they were just, we were cheering. You know, it was so exciting.
Praise God.
But I don't think that the general public understands how many women have had an abortion. One in four women in the United States will have an abortion by the time they're 40. And those aren't my statistics. Those are the statistics from Planned Parenthood.
That's powerful. One in four, you said.
And that is everywhere. That's in churches, that's in schools, that's in your office. I wouldn't have believed it had I not been in this business, but I interview all our volunteers before they go on the mobile unit and just explain to them what our process is and what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to the end of this one-hour interview, and we'll get ready to stand up, and they'll go, "Robin, I need to tell you something." And I know what they're going to tell me. Mm-hmm. And we sit back down, and they say, "I had an abortion." Mm-hmm. And it's this big secret, you know, that people don't talk about, but so many people are suffering from the aftermath.
Yeah, that's powerful. Well, now, Robin, you shared how that basically the Lord has used that in your own testimony to help you in the ministry now. Could you share with our listeners about that?
Yes, and this is another thing about women who have an abortion. I don't know if people think they're really young teenagers, but most women that we see that are searching for an abortion or thinking about having an abortion are between 20 and 29. I myself came to, as I said earlier, my husband and I moved to Alabama in 1988. I had a five-year-old, and we were running a business with 300 employees, and I was kind of overwhelmed, and I found out about 6 weeks in that I was pregnant. And I told my husband, I said, "I can't be, well, what I said exactly was, I can't be pregnant." And he just looked at me and said, well, whatever you want to do. And I said, I'm going to have an abortion. And at that point, you just went down and had an abortion. There was no law about having an ultrasound or anything. So my husband and my son went with me. They sat in the TV room. I went in and had an abortion. It was a terrible experience. But I have to say that when it was all finished, and I asked the lady ahead of time, I said, now, I caught this early enough, right? Like I'm talking about taking Tamiflu, you know, but that's really was my mindset. Mm-hmm. And she said, we don't make those kind of judgments. So I had the abortion, and I went on with my life. And for 28 years, I didn't think about it. I didn't feel bad. I got a degree in Bible and ministry. I worked on a church staff for 14 years. But I will say this, I never went to a church, and I've been in church my whole life, where anybody said the A word. Nobody talked about abortion. So 28 years later, through circumstances, I'm working in a hospital as a secretary, and Dr. Matthew Phillips says to me one night at shift change, he says to me, Robin, what kind of ministry have you ever done? And I told him, well, I worked in a church staff, and I worked at a women's home, and he said, well, I want you to come get on my bus and work with these women. I mean, I said, I have to tell you something. And so we went out in the hall, and I start crying. Now, I didn't think I had felt bad, but I start crying. And I told him, I said, Dr. Phillips, I had an abortion. And he put his arm around my shoulders, and he said, Robin, God will take that sin. And I honestly cannot remember one thing he said after that, because I'm thinking, sin? This man is talking to me about sin? I never thought of it as a sin. Mm-hmm. And so I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'm telling you, that's how I felt. So on the way home, I said, Father God, if it's a sin, I'm sorry, but honestly, I can tell you right now, I did not feel sorry. So the next day, my husband and I, the next night, we went to see the mobile unit, and at that point, the mobile unit in Montgomery did not yet have its medical license, so they could show it, but we couldn't use it yet. So my husband was outside talking to the man, and I stepped up on that mobile unit, and there's a large flat-screen TV right in the front of the mobile unit, as well as in the back in the ultrasound room, and they were running a loop of ultrasounds on it. And when I got on that bus and I saw that eight-week-old baby, which would have been how old mine was, I said, oh, Father God, what did I do? Because now it's real. And when you see it, you can't unsee it. And that is the power of ultrasound. And it brought me to repentance. It brought me to the situation where I realized what I had done after 28 years of just being oblivious. And so my goal with Life on Wheels is to not have other women go through that same situation. I had a minister tell me one time that every woman going into an abortion clinic knew she was committing murder. And I told him, no, that's just not true. That's not my experience. They don't even realize that it's life. And that's the whole purpose behind ultrasound, is showing that life.
Robin, that's a powerful story, and there are just so many things you shared that probably touch the lives of lots and lots of other people. Would you take a moment to pray for women who might find themselves in a similar situation that you found yourself in when you went down that road to have the abortion? Would you pray for them at this time?
Yes. Oh, Father God, I just thank you so much that you brought me to myself. Father, like the prodigal son in the pig pen, I came to myself. Father, I just ask that you send these words out to women who are considering abortion and help them to know that life begins at conception. That's really the truth. It does. Father, for those women who have already had the abortion and are suffering from it, Father, I just thank you that you wrap your arms of compassion around them, that you give them the strength, Father God, to know that your grace is sufficient. Father, you are the one that gave life, but you're also the one that heals us. And you knew from the beginning what would happen, and you've also made a way of escape for us. So I thank you, Father, that you just give them the peace and also restoration, Father. I ask you, Father, to take their stories and let them share them with someone else for healing and help. And we just praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Robin. So, Robin, you all take your bus to, you actually take the Life on Wheels to the abortion clinic then, is that right?
Yes, in Montgomery, Alabama, it's on South Perry Street, which is like a three-way, one-way street up towards the interstate. Mm-hmm. It's right next door to the YMCA. And there was a big vacant lot across the street from us, and we used from the abortion clinic, and we used to park right on the street. And mm-hmm. then donors of Life on Wheels bought us the lot, so we're actually able to park on the lot now, and nobody can mm-hmm. move us or block us. And we also use that lot for other Christian activities, but... yeah, we park there on Mondays and Tuesdays specifically because those are the days when the abortion clinic has appointments for women to do ultrasounds and pregnancy tests. And we park there, and then we have volunteers out on the streets in safety vests passing out coupons that say $150 value. And we stop people on the street, ask them if they'd like to have a free ultrasound. And just since we started doing that, in April, from April to December, they walked 64 women across from the abortion clinic to the to our ultrasound bus. We aren't getting into pro-life discussions with them on the street. We're just marketing at that point. We're just saying, here, we're going to give you something for free. Mm-hmm. Because we know when they get on the bus and they see that baby, the Holy Spirit does the work.
So you all go to the front lines of the battle as you take your bus to the abortion clinic itself then, and you go there how many days a week?
We started out going 5 days a week, but we found out that since they were doing abortions only 1 day a week and there's a 48-hour waiting period here, mm-hmm. that any time after Tuesdays it was dead. So we go on Mondays and Tuesdays in front of the abortion clinic, and then we actually go out on abortion day also and just have the mobile unit out there and pray. The other days what we do is we park from 2 to 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights at Alabama State University right on the campus. They have given us favor to be there. Mm-hmm. And then we park in different places around three different counties around us. We also do We also do ultrasounds for the three local pregnancy centers that are not medical. And that means they have clients, but they don't have ultrasound capabilities. So every week we go to them and do their clients' ultrasounds for them. So we're working together with our crisis pregnancy centers. Mm-hmm. There's one other thing I want to really mention is that every crisis pregnancy center in our area, and I'm sure in your listeners' areas, offer abortion healing classes. So if you are a person that has gone through abortion, it could have been 20 years ago, could have been 25 years ago, there is help and healing and someone there to talk to you and help you through that.
Okay. And so you would recommend anyone that's had an abortion to go through one of these healing classes then?
I would. Once I came to myself, you know, and found out what I had done, I went through healing classes here at First Choice in Montgomery. And I have to say this, there's not a huge bunch of people going through. Mm-hmm. It was just me and one other girl, and this other girl had had two abortions like 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was very... I was so blessed because I really have a revelation of the grace of God in my life. I'm not saying... I'm better than anybody, but God had really prepared me for what I was going to find out. The mm-hmm. girl I was dealing with did not have that, and she mm-hmm. suffered so much, but this class really, really helped her, mm-hmm. and it helped me too, and I can, having gone through it, I can recommend them to anyone. There's one called Surrendering the Secret. There's another one called Freedom from Fear, and the women that are leading the classes are themselves post-abortive, so they know what you've been through.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so... It's for women and men as well, or just for women?
Sure, yeah. They've got them for men, too. I've had men get on the mobile unit and see the ultrasound and actually cry because mm-hmm. they paid for abortions. Mm-hmm. And now they're seeing what they did.
That's good. Well, share with our listeners once again the website if they're wanting to get in touch with you or learn more about the ministry of Life on Wheels, please.
Sure. It's lifeonwheels.com. And my email is mom@lifeonwheelsalabama.com. And we're also on Facebook, and we're updating that all the time. And that's at Facebook at Low, L-O-W, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Father, thank you, Lord, for every person listening today. And, Lord, thank you for those persons listening who are in communities that may need a similar ministry in theirs as well. Move upon pastors and others to listen and follow through to help bring this ministry to their communities as you would have them to as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is Robin Blessing. She's the director of Life on Wheels of Alabama. We'll be right back. Music of Jennifer Meikle, Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Robin Blessing. She's the director of Life on Wheels of Alabama. Robin, in our last segment, you wanted to share with us about the ministry that you have not only in Montgomery, but also in Birmingham as well.
Yes, we have a second mobile unit that has now launched in Birmingham, and God just gave us a miracle. And I just want to say to anybody that's thinking about doing mobile ministry, you're going to reach people that you're going to reach women and families, though, that you would never see any other way. I'm going to give you all a couple of examples of that, but I just do want to tell you that we were believing God for a mobile unit for Birmingham. And this was in July. We really started at the beginning of last year believing, praying, going to Birmingham one day a week. And in September, we knew that Planned Parenthood was building a huge facility right on the interstate in a poor area of Birmingham. And I just told our board, we need to be in front of that. And our board president actually said to me, he said, Robin, it's going to be a miracle if we're there. And I said, well, then we're going to believe for a miracle. And one of our board members said, Jesus can do this. And that was on, I think it was September 16th. On September 23rd, I got a check from an anonymous donor from a charitable foundation somewhere in the central part of the United States for $175,000 to buy a new mobile unit. I mean, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is.
Praise God, that's powerful.
You see me opening that FedEx package. I was like, whoa. And so that's what's happening. We're now launching in Birmingham. We launched, and Planned Parenthood still isn't open, but we're in operation. I do want to talk, though, about the effect of prayer on our ministry, because every single Monday morning we have a conference prayer call, and if you go on our website, I'll have the number listed. You could call in. And the first thing that we always, always pray is that God will put us in the right place at the right time to meet the women that He has for us to minister to. Mm-hmm. And so about 3 weeks ago, I was at the mobile unit, and we had a fraternity in Auburn that did a fundraiser for Life on Wheels. They did a chili fundraiser, and they raised about $5,000 for us, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And the two young men from the fraternity wanted to come bring the check. And I said, well, come out to where the mobile unit is, and we'll take pictures in front of the mobile unit. And so they came out, and we took pictures. And while we're taking pictures, this woman drives up in the car and starts taking a baby out of the car. And so, of course, I have to go over and talk to her. I said, just a second, guys. And so I said, oh, what a cute baby. And she goes, well, I just wanted you to see the baby you saved. I said, the what? And
praise
she said,
God.
The baby you saved. She said, I was going into the abortion clinic, and you ladies talked to me. I went on the bus and saw my baby, and here she is. And I was just like, well, Jesus saved this baby. And I was just so thankful. And I turned around, and those two young men were just standing there with their mouths open, you know. And I said, look what you are a part of. This is what it's all about, is saving these babies. Because a lot of times, we don't know. You know, the women leave us, and sometimes they're happy, but many times they're kind of honestly freaked out. They didn't think it was anything. Mm-hmm. They'd been told it was a bundle of cells, a product of conception. And then when you see it, it's real, mm-hmm. and you can't unsee it. Mm-hmm. And so those kind of stories are just, you know, awesome for us.
That's great. That's a powerful story, a touching story as well. So praise God. And who knows how many other times that sometimes they yeah. never come back to tell you, but the Lord knows the babies that have been saved by the work of a ministry like Life on Wheels. So, but you had another story you were going to share with us as well?
Yes, I wanted to. And what you just said, we know 241 women who have told us that they changed their mind, but then we don't know how many didn't change their mind, so that's exciting. But another story of being in the right place at the right time is at that time we had... At the time that this happened, we had a part-time sonographer that was only working for us on Mondays. And Kimberly is an awesome person. She used to be a dean at one of the colleges here, and she was she wrote the ultrasound program for this college. But anyway, she was my friend, and through circumstances, she started volunteering for us and then started working with us. So it's a Monday. We're in front of the abortion clinic, and right across the street from the abortion clinic, across another street beside us is a probation office. And so this story is about Erica. Erica told her story at our banquet. And what happened was Erica brought her friend to the probation office, and she said, I saw that bus, so I decided to go have a pregnancy test. So she gets on the bus, and she has her pregnancy test, and she's very abortion-minded, and she's pregnant. Well, when she goes to have her ultrasound, Kimberly is doing her ultrasound, and Kimberly was her dean at Virginia College. Mm-hmm. And so she said, oh, my goodness. And so she starts talking to Erica, and Erica says, you know, I can't have this baby. I'm in school. I have a 13-year-old. And because of their relationship, Kimberly was really able to minister and talk to her. But it took 9 follow-up visits, 9, to get her to go see a doctor. And finally, she went to the doctor, but she was in her late 30s, which this is kind of offensive to women, but they call it advanced maternal age. And so she was having some blood pressure problems. And she ended up having to go have a C-section, and she was in bed for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And now she's got a new baby. She's got her 13-year-old. She's in bed, not able to work, and she was having a lot of problems. And all this that I'm telling you, she told at our banquet, because we wouldn't tell stories if they didn't allow us to.
Right.
But anyway, the bottom line was, on our board, we have the director of Catholic Social Services, because our board consists of 14... There's 14 different denominations represented with our staff and our board. We work with everybody. And so we told the deacon, we told him what was going on with her, and Catholic Social Services paid her rent, got her back on her feet. She got back and got her job back, and she's doing great. And her baby Dominic, there's pictures of him on our website. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's amazing how God's able to work through all of us when we work together.
Praise God. You know, that's a powerful story of the body of Christ coming together to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's a great, great testimony. Praise God for that. So would you pray for the church to grow in the understanding of the need for us to walk in that kind of love consistently as the body of Christ?
Yes. Oh, Father God, I thank you that you have put us right here in Montgomery, Alabama, and you've placed each of your listeners in their community, Father, to be your hands and feet. And I thank you, Father, that you are not denominational. You are the God of love. You are the God of mercy, and Jesus died for all of us. So I thank you that we are able to walk in unity one with another. Father, we may not agree on the way that we do everything, but we can all agree that you are the author of life. Father, that you gave us life and breath and everything else. So, Father, I thank you that we have open eyes to see our brothers and sisters and to see what we can do to work in common, Father God, to serve you and to serve these women and to serve these families. And I just praise you, Father, that you are taking away division and bringing unity to the body of Christ. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So you have another story for us.
Yes, let me tell you, I have a story of a woman who was at, well, this is on our website, so I can say it's at Alabama State. She was one of our clients, and she was a senior getting ready to graduate with honors. She had been an athlete the whole time that she was at ASU. She was a pole vaulter, actually. Mm-hmm. And she was they were number one in the region and doing well in the state. And she, at the very end of her senior year, she found out that she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And she came to our mobile unit. She'd already had a pregnancy test with a friend, and so she came on our mobile unit and found out for sure she was pregnant, saw the picture, and decided to go back home and have an abortion. And when she left, I mean, we have a group text, and we were texting each other, and we were all praying that God would move, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she went back home to Texas, and her sister picked her up and talked to her, and her parents were encouraging her. And by the way, she was raised in church. Parents were in church, but they were encouraging her to have this abortion so that it wouldn't mess up her life. Mm-hmm. But she was really conflicted. She was so conflicted about the whole thing. And finally, her sister said, listen, let's go to my OBGYN doctor and have another ultrasound. So she took her to the doctor. He did the ultrasound, showed her the picture. And when she came out, she told her sister, I just can't do this. And her sister said, well, then you don't have to do it. I'm going to be with you. The parents kind of said, we're not having any part of this. They were in Louisiana. She was in Houston. The sister said, you can stay with me. So she got all the way up to the end of her pregnancy, and her parents came around and said, no, come home. We're going to be in this together. Mm-hmm. So the last we had heard from her was that she was having an abortion, and we were praying. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing we know, we get a picture. She sends us a picture of her and her baby right after delivery. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing story about how God uses those pictures, the ultrasound. And it's in your, like I said, once you see it, you can't mm-hmm. unsee it.
Praise God. Praise, a wonderful story. And, you know, I think of this, Robin, too. Time and time again, it's one side of the story can almost be comical sometimes when it happens this way. That, like, time in so many instances where parents are adamant that they don't want their daughter to have the baby. They wanted to get an abortion. And time again, when it doesn't work out that way and she has the baby, nobody falls in love with the baby more than granddad and grandma, you know.
That is so true. That is so true.
Mm. Well, and so our time is running, almost gone, but can you share one more story before we run out of time?
I'll share a quick one. This one was very sad, but also very wonderful. What happened was we had a woman who came on the bus very young. She was like 18, and her boyfriend, and they came on the mobile unit, and she saw the ultrasound. She still didn't want the baby, but the boyfriend really, really, really wanted the baby. But what happened was is that at the end of their visit, we shared the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. And our Patsy, one of our really strong volunteers, shared the gospel. And then they left, and the very next day, that boyfriend was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Mm-hmm.
And but he had heard the gospel. We have to believe that he received Christ. You know, it's not my job. I just know that we did what we were supposed to do, and I'm believing that he received Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But we were still thinking she had the abortion. Well, it turns out that I met a friend of hers here at my office, and she said, I have a friend outside that saw you at Cope, and she is about to have her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met her, it turns out this is that girl that was going to abort. And when her boyfriend was killed, she said, no, I'm going to keep my baby. And she kept the baby, and now he's a toddler, and he's doing awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't know the effect we have, but we know that we're reaching people we would never, ever see. And also, you have to share the gospel, because you do mm-hmm. not know how many chances someone else would have. Who would think a 19-year-old would die?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Robin, I tell you what, I want to ask in these last few moments, if you'll take time to pray for listeners to really grow in their understanding of the need for us to keep the Great Commission in our hearts and our minds continually, because just like there's much evangelism and discipleship that happens through the work of ministries like yours, but we're all to be involved in this very important work. Would you pray for listeners in the body of Christ to really grow in their understanding of the need to keep this as our priority in the heart of God?
Yes. Father, we just thank you for the opportunities that you give us every single day. And I ask, Father, that you open all of our eyes to the people that you have placed in our lives. Father, they could be family, they could be friends, they could be someone that we see every day, but we never had the understanding that we needed to talk to them. that every person is a precious soul, Father God, that you want to be in relationship with, and that you sent your son to die for. So, Father, I just ask you to open our eyes, show us who you would have us to talk to. Holy Spirit, please direct us and speak to us and show us who we need to talk to. And also, I bind fear and confusion in the name of Jesus. I just ask you, Father God, for boldness, because you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I just ask you, Father, to give our listeners and to give me the ability to love these people and tell them the truth. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Robin, thank you so much for being with us and sharing about the wonderful ministry of Life on Wheels. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
All right. Share your website one more time.
www.lifeonwheelsalabama.com.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And I want to encourage every listener to pray for Robin and the Ministry of Life on Wheels as they continue the great work they're doing. You be blessed, Robin, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Pastor Joseph. Thank you for asking me.
All right. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.